Chris Andre.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor PDX Skillshare Saturday, July 12th from 1 to 6 p.m. Over 70 classes will be offered on every imaginable subject, from arts and crafts to gardening skills to advice on starting a business and more. The classes will be taught and organized by your neighbors. Learn new skills, pick up a hobby, and meet other people, all in a fun and informal setting. Again, PDX Skillshare will take place on Saturday, July 12th at George Middle School, 10,000 North Burr Avenue in St. John's. More information at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 8th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We've got terrific guests today. Scores of activists with Cascadia Forest Defenders and Earth First converged on the Seneca Jones biomass plant yesterday morning, I believe, to protect the company's privatization, protest the company's privatization of public lands in the Elliott State Forest and the ongoing pollution in West Eugene. Several people locked themselves to equipment at the plant, halting a conveyor belt and blocking a truck dump where biomass is loaded into the incinerator. Haven't we learned anything at all? In wintertime, people who have wood stoves are constantly pestered to stop heating their homes with what? Wait for it. Biomass, that's right, wood, exactly, very good. And also little tiny pellets, also biomass. So it's not okay for individuals to heat their homes with a wood stove, but it's perfectly okay for Seneca to undertake this greenwash of what is a loathsome method of generating energy. A banner was dropped off a tower reading, "Seneca Jones privatizing the Coast Range, polluting West Eugene." Police extracted the blockaders and they were taken to Lane County Jail facing charges. That is our top story for today. We have other headlines, though. West Virginia Mountain Mama, take me home country road, if you can find it. Mountaintops in Virginia are going fast. Marfork Coal, a subsidiary of Alpha Natural Resources, has obtained new permits to mine 1,000 acres of the eastern side of this particular mountain. This expands upon the already permitted 3,000 acres in the Eagle II permit and the Beatree permit. This is basically taking the top off another mountain. You can look at the map online. In addition, proposals have just been revealed for Alpha to destroy 2,000 acres on the south side of the mountain. And it goes on. You've got to see the map to believe what they're doing. Overall shipments of oil by rail have increased. Wait for it. Shipments of oil increased by 28,000% since 2009. That's 28,000%. Think about it. On July 6, 2013, 1 year ago, a train carrying oil derailed in the Quebec town of Lac-Mégantic, resulting in an explosion so wild and so hot it leveled several city blocks and incinerated the bodies. How soon we forget. 1 year ago. 1 year ago. And they're still trying to convince us that oil trains are safe. The accident put the tiny town on the international media circuit, but only briefly, only a blink of an eye, because here we are, right back where we started. And anti-environmentalists have found a new medium for exhausting their anger. Exhaust, literally. Some truck enthusiasts are intentionally producing copious amounts of diesel exhaust on purpose, spewing black smoke into the air as a form of political protest. It's called Rolling Coal. And they have huge banners. They write it on the side of their trucks. You perhaps have seen it. A member of an Earth First Evocative covered the subculture in an article and reported on the coal rollers. They spend thousands of dollars altering their vehicles to produce even greater amounts of smoke. And the private sector is funneling billions of dollars into researching and developing biometric surveillance of facial recognition and analysis technology. More on that towards the end of the show. Or, failing that, more of this on our website, our amazing and extraordinary KBO community website. We would like to let everyone know that Marius Jacob Mason, or Marie Mason as some know her, will no longer be using the name Marie and will be using male pronouns. We hope that you'll all join us in supporting Marius through this transition, which will no doubt be especially challenging as it takes place within the prison system. Until his name is legally changed, any mail sent to Marius in prison will still need to be addressed to Marie Mason. Just a heads up to those of you in correspondence with Marius, and Marius would like to be addressed as he from now on. This goes for donations also. And there's an update from Fukushima TEPCO's feckless fans of nuclear energy. At the time when the cooling systems were switched off around 12 p.m., we only have a few more days now to the deadline when the leak is going to be virtually unstoppable. I guess their ice walls didn't work out quite as planned. And now we're going to be speaking now with forest activists, with Cascade Forest Defenders, and, of course, Earth First, who staged the action against Seneca Cordelia Finley. And Grace Warner join us this morning. Good morning. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Morning.
Can you, first, before we get started, identify which of you is which so that our listeners know your voices and can follow the conversation? Cordelia?
Sure. This is Grace Warner.
Okay, Grace.
I work with Cascadia Forest Defenders.
And Cordelia?
Yeah, this is Cordelia Finley. I also work with Cascadia Forest Defenders.
Great. Can you let's start off with Cordelia, if you want to talk a little bit about the action, and then I'm going to ask Grace or either one of you to talk about greenwashing and how that has shaped the conversation about my biomass.
Sure. We went to the Seneca biomass cogeneration plant with the intention to shut it down for the day, and we succeeded in doing that. About 100 people gathered both outside and inside the facility and locked down to equipment that was crucial to the plant's ability to operate. And that includes a conveyor belt or a piece of machinery associated with a conveyor belt that moves woody biomass into the boiler itself, which is a pretty impressive accomplishment for us.
It's huge. So where is this biomass coming from? Are we raping the forest floor of the requirements of future forests, or where is it coming from?
Well, my understanding is that the majority of this biomass is either debris left over from milling operations that happen at the Seneca sawmill next door or at other sawmills in town, and I think that slash is from cut sites is also burned in the plant. Maybe Grace has more information about that.
Grace, can you talk about what the source is of?
Well, I believe they also buy wood chips when they don't have enough woody debris from their clear cuts, which is interesting because wood chips are oftentimes like trees that were chipped to make cardboard and other wood products. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because mills already use this technology. Like, they just call it hog fuel, like burning waste mm-hmm. from clear cuts or what they consider to be waste. That would be soil in the forest. And they burn it to create electricity for their mills. Like Rosebrook Forest Products does that in Dillard. The thing about it is that they're actually receiving public money to do it because it's being marketed as renewable energy. So that's money that would be potentially going to fund actually sustainable projects, but it's like $10 million a year that's going to fund a wood-burning generator that is polluting West Eugene and depleting the forest floor.
Yeah, so I want either of you, and I want to invite you to talk a little bit more about that's of great concern, and then we'll talk more about the process of greenwashing. In this instance, it's been egregious and way over the top, but it continues in so many other areas where corporate interests trump our own public interests and the health of the communities and the health of the planet. Greenwashing is one of the truly an enormous evil. I find it amazing that it's it really is legal to lie. What kind of laws are there in place that prevent companies from making statements that are demonstrably false? Like, this is renewable energy. Well, up to a certain point it is. Once you've destroyed the forest, then it's no longer renewable, is it? Or are we going to use debris from tree farms? That seems that's where we're tending. Can you talk a little bit about the greenwash that's involved in this and other? There are other instances of greenwashing.
Well, I mean, I think the thing with Seneca Jones is that it's like on a bigger scale, they're also like for them to paint themselves as being environmentalists at all is completely laughable. Because right now they're privatizing public land in the Elliott State Forest and saying that they are going to clear cut it, like that's their stated intention of purchasing land in the Elliott. So that was one of the things we really wanted to draw attention to. And, you know, we've fought the biomass plant in the past. We've had other actions there. And I think that in this particular occasion, we also wanted to draw attention to the general poor company practices. In addition to billing themselves as being a sustainable business, they also bill themselves as being community members who are helping their community in some way by creating jobs and whatnot. But at the same time, they're saying that they're stealing land from the public and clear-cutting it against the few regulations that do exist, which is, I mean, the regulatory industry is completely inadequate in this situation. They've gotten some small fines for breaking EPA air quality regulations with our biomass burner, but those fines are like a couple thousand dollars, and we're talking about $10 million that they're getting from the public every year to have that plant.
And basically, so Cascade Forest Defenders and Earthrest are on the front lines talking about this, stopping it, taking actual action, direct action to stop this. Is there, and do you have, and what are your other allies, or do we have allies in Salem who we might want to turn to support the legislators' efforts to disclose this to the public and to make some sort of effort to restore regulation and protection of our air and our forests? What are the prospects for that?
Well, I mean, I think that there's definitely a lot of groups working on that. I know that there's a group called Beyond Toxics in Eugene that is more focused on environmental justice and stuff at the legislative level. And I think that Cascadia Forest Defenders is like, we're really focused on what's happening on the ground in the forest. And what we really need support on from allies, and we're definitely getting a lot of help, is well, at the moment we have 3 people in jail, so we need help getting them out of jail. 3 people got arrested during the protest yesterday, and we have a link to donate.
Yeah, why don't you give? We've got like a minute left, so why don't you give listeners an idea of what they can do to support what you're doing and to contribute to the legal expenses that are involved in direct action. People in jail, that means money. Most activists don't have a lot of money. Just give people the websites and so forth, more information on that end of it.
Sure. ForestDefenseNow.com. That's Forest defensenow.com. That's the website. Go there. You'll find a link to a donation page and also, like, information about Cascadia Forest Defenders. Like, it's an open group that organizes collectively and horizontally against the horrible extraction that's perpetuated by the timber industry. And they have weekly meetings in Eugene. So it's also, if people don't have money to chip in, actually what we really want is more organizers and more people that want to spend time in the woods and take action.
Thank you both so much. We're out of time for today. My guests have been Cordelia Finley and Grace Warner with Cascade Forest Defenders. And there's much work to be done, so let's get out in the forest and do it. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, July 8th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, given the extreme Israeli occupation violence, we rebroadcast the Electronic Intifada hosted by Nora Barris Friedman. And we speak to Native American activist Kimball Bickhorse about being roughed up at Giant Stadium on Native American Heritage Night. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And we continue.